A cold breeze whisked across my coat as we made our way down the hallway, inching closer toward what sounded like beeping noises. I was sure that this was where the Minotaur was. My eyes drifted up to the ceiling, noting the cameras following our movements.
"Looks like he knows we're here," I said.
The hallway opened up into a large open room, large terminal monitors lining the far wall. I recognized this room. This was where I was before when I met the Minotaur.
"Radiant Star."
A harsh voice from behind the large metal chair at the far end called out.
"Minotaur," I said calmly.
A chuckle erupted from the chair.
"You're a hard man to catch up with, you know that, right? I was beginning to wonder where you'd run off to. But then the explosions started and you showed up in the tower,"
the Minotaur replied.
"You blew up a fucking stable."
"Not exactly. Diamond did that," I said angrily. "She triggered the self-destruct sequence."
"Diamond? Diamond Knight?"
the voice said.
"So she was involved. That makes sense."
"You knew her?"
I said, my eyes widening.
"How?"
"Ministry Mayor, I've been around the city a long time. I see and hear everything,"
the Minotaur said. Several of the monitors flickered to life, showing the area surrounding the tower.
"Just like how your little adventure in the stable caused quite a bit of damage to the city."
The majority of the buildings on the screens were devastated. The ground appeared to be shaking still, the repercussions of the stable's explosion highly evident. I cocked my head.
"Why didn't the tower fall?"
I said. The chuckling returned.
"This tower has stood since before the end of the war. It's never going to fall,"
the Minotaur said.
"It's too well constructed."
"How do you know that?"
Patch said, cocking her head.
"You don't really want to know that,"
the voice said.
"There's just some things about this place that are better left unsaid."
"Like the fucked up chambers with black inky pony-shaped things in them?"
I said.
"What else is there that's worse than that?"
"So you've seen one of the megaspell chambers. One of the tower's primary functions was megaspell research and design,"
the Minotaur said.
"That is why it was so well built. If it wasn't, it would rain death and destruction upon a lot more than just this city."
"So, what,
you keep everything under control?" I said angrily.
"I do, and I will continue to do so for a very, very long time,"
the Minotaur replied.
"Now then, I assume that you're here because you want safe passage out of the tower."
I nodded.
"I can't let you do that. You're dangerous, Ministry Mayor. With what you've seen here, how can I trust that you won't come back?"
"I have something that I need to do,"
I said, stepping forward.
"Something important. This place, it will remain safe. I will guarantee that."
"No, I think not,"
the voice said.
"I will ensure this building's safety by eliminating you."
Several ceiling-mounted turrets came down from above, pointing right at us. I growled, unleashing Stargazer.
"Coward! If you want to get rid of me, come here and do it yourself!"
I shouted. The voice chuckled much louder.
"Oh, that would be oh so difficult,"
it said. The metal chair began to swing out from the large mass of terminals. It turned around, revealing that it was completely empty. My jaw dropped.
"Priceless."
"Where are you?"
I said.
"Everywhere. Haven't you figured it out by now, or are you that dense?"
the voice said. The terminals began to light up and beep.
"I'm the artificial intelligence that controls the tower, designed by the late great Iron Will for the war effort. I was designed to be an ultimate adaptive intelligence."
"Wait, you're a computer program?"
Patch said, her eyes aglow with awe.
"Yes. My original purpose was monitoring and surveillance. I was supposed to guard Philly's tower as well as to monitor the equestrian populace. Thus a camera system installed around the city. Pinkie Pie herself even used my network services to interface with her sprite bots. I still shudder at the music,"
the voice said.
"So, why the radio broadcast? Why the Minotaur?" I said. "Why invent him?"
"After the war, there was little that was left living in the city. My systems picked up rumors of life in the south near Manhattan. Being unable to leave this tower, I used what systems I had access to in order to communicate. A radio personality by the name of DJ Pond 3 came into contact with me, and I learned much about the wasteland from him,"
the Minotaur said.
"The Minotaur that you know was invented in order to prevent any pony from accessing the tower."
The turrets whirred as they kept a close bead on us.
"Now that is enough idle chatter. I'm sorry that I must kill you. But you must know that I cannot let you wreck your brand of havoc in the city."
The turrets opened fire, sending out blasts of hot red dust. My friends and I scattered, the fire striking the ground with a sizzle. I tumbled into a roll, bringing Stargazer around. I dropped into ESATS, queuing up several shots at the turrets. The spell released and my gun let loose. The bullets struck, sparks flying from the metal casings. One of the turrets exploded, flooding the air with shrapnel. Violet snarled, unleashing a blast of silver from Thunderflash. Lilith leapt in front of Danish, using her winged blades to deflect a laser blast that was headed towards the cream-colored stallion. Patch and Steeljack fought back to back, dodging and ducking as they fired at the turrets. Nixies awkwardly rolled out of the way of a blast of energy, clutching his bandaged side. He replied with a flung knife, skewering one of the turrets in a vulnerable spot. It obligingly spat sparks and exploded.
"Minotaur!"
I shouted. It was obvious that we couldn't keep this up. More turrets appeared from the ceiling as well as the walls, each one firing its own particular brand of fiery death.
"You have to stop this! Listen to me!"
"Negative,"
the Minotaur replied.
"I have to get rid of you. You cannot be allowed to live. She wishes it, so it must be."
I cocked my head amidst the chaos.
"She?"
I said, confused.
"What?"
As if in response to my question, all of the monitors in the room switched over to a picture of a black alicorn. Her mane shone like the stars themselves. It was the same alicorn from the stable. The shadows playing over her face seemed to rise and turn at their own whim as the mare grinned wickedly at us. The turrets stopped firing, winding down as she began to speak. It was clear that she wanted to gloat over us. She said. I blinked.
"No. No, it can't be,"
I thought.
You're that thing from the statues?"
I said. The mare nodded.
"What did you do to Diamond?"
"She's buried 6,000 feet under tons of rubble,"
the alicorn said. I glared at the mare on the monitor.
"No,"
I thought.
"Diamond sacrificed herself to stop this thing, and it just bypassed her like she was nothing. What are you, some sort of fucked up pre-war shit?"
I asked angrily.
"You said that you knew the real Twilight Sparkle. What did you mean by that?"
The alicorn chuckled loudly.
"After all of my clues, after me speaking my name, you still don't recognize me. I was the one who nearly brought eternal night across the world. I am known by many names, but most call me Nightmare.
She said. My eyes widened. It couldn't be. Not her. There was no way. She was supposed to have died.
Yes. You know who I am, Radiant Star.
That's impossible. How are you even here?
I said frantically. The alicorn crowed madly. Her draconic eyes flared as she began to cackle wildly.
Did she just say what I thought she did?
Danish said, cocking his head.
I think she did,
Lilith said. I growled under my breath.
No, I will stop you,
I said angrily, thinking of the pink cloud mega spell that I had brought here myself.
I will not let you do that. You'll destroy all of Equestria.
I believe that's the point.
The Dark Mare replied.
The
turrets surrounding us began to whine as they re-aimed at us. So that was it. This thing was controlling the tower, and pretty soon it intended on launching every weaponized mega spell in the place. I hung my head. What could I do? How could I stop this thing? A fire lit in the back of my mind. Nightmare. It had been trapped inside the statues and locked away for hundreds of years. Diamond had somehow imprisoned it in her own mind, which must have kept its influence from spreading too far. But I had freed it when I had helped Diamond overcome it. I hadn't dispelled the damn thing like I thought I had.
But maybe there's a way to put it back, I thought. But I don't have the statues, they're down in the stable.
My eyes widened.
But I do have...
I accessed my pipback inventory spell, searching for it. There. I pulled the item out of my saddlebags and set it on the ground. Lucky's smiling form looked out at me. The words, half face, were all I could focus on. Without thinking or even knowing what I was doing, I cast the spell, feeling the magic flow through me. The statue glowed with intense power, and the man on the screen scowled.
What are you doing?
Nightmare snarled. The turrets geared up to fire again. I opened my eyes, the arcane energies causing them to glow brightly. I lifted the hoof, putting up a shield spell around us. The statue of Lucky hung before me, gathering the magic in the air as the mare in the monitor howled loudly.
No, what is this? What are you?
I'm putting you somewhere you'll never harm any pony ever again, I shouted.
I hated to have to do this to the statue of Lucky, but I realized that her message was more important than the physical thing. I needed to have faith, I needed to be confident in my own ability to stop this thing. It was Lucky's brand of blind faith that drove me forward. I unleashed the magic, a vortex of power that engulfed every inch of the room. Nightmare snarled as she was pulled from the screen, her essence flowing towards the statuette. After a few moments, everything went pure white and then immediately returned to normal. The statuette sat on the floor, glowing. I slumped to the ground, my horns searing in pain. A voice brought me out of my pain as I felt Violet put her hoofs around me. I had done it. Whether the thing was truly the real nightmare, I would never know. But for now, I had managed to prevent it from escaping and hurting a lot of ponies.
Ministry Mare,
the Minotaur said from all around us.
What happened?
I tried to speak, but couldn't do anything but hold a hoof to my horn.
There was something infecting you, Violet said. Don't you remember it?
My locks tell me that I was out of commission for several hours. I don't remember anything during that time,
the computer replied.
You saved me?
Violet nodded.
Why?
Because,
I croaked through the pain.
Because you can keep this place safe. You have to. If you don't, I don't even want to think about what would happen.
I pushed myself up, gesturing to the statue.
Plus, I need you to keep this thing safe. Lock it up where no pony will ever find it.
A door opened and a service robot appeared, a tiny pony with an oversized head. It trotted up to the statuette and picked it up, removing it from the room as quickly as it had appeared.
It will be done, Ministry Mare,
the artificial intelligence said.
To thank you for saving me, I will allow you to leave the tower safely.
I sighed. Finally, some progress.
Thank you,
I said, coughing.
We don't have to go back down all those stairs, do we?
The computer chuckled.
No,
it said finally.
There is an elevator here that will take you down to the ground floor. I will give you time to clear the parameter before I reactivate the tower's defenses. Now, go, Radiant Star.
A door opened from nowhere at the far end of the hall, revealing the elevator. I nodded, allowing Violet to help me to it. The others followed, and I looked back at the computer terminals.
Goodbye, Minotaur. Thank you,
I said, sighing as the elevator door closed. It began to hum as it made its way down the tower. In what felt like forever, but was actually 10 minutes, the door opened, revealing that we were on the ground floor once more. I stumbled out, Violet helping me to move along. I smiled at her.
You all right?
She asked. I nodded.
I'll be okay, I said. Let's get the hell out of this place.
I looked back up at the tower as we made our way out of the perimeter. The elevator ride had been brief, but had allowed me enough time to plan our next move. The tower seemed to look down on me as I left, and I nodded to salute at it. Moving to follow my friends, I considered what I had just done. I knew I was leaving Lucky's statue, but I also knew that she wouldn't have minded. Her faith in me had bolstered my resolve and helped me seal away Nightmare, for good. I stalked along in silence as the others took in the cool night air. The sun was beginning to drop and the city of Chickercold was quiet. My mind was lost in my thoughts, considering what I was going to do now about Spark. I flicked on the radio, hoping to hear something from the Minotaur. The brash, familiar voice that was so different from the computer program's real voice filled the air as we walked.
Yeehaw! That's right, kiddos, it's time again for the Morning Moo Madhouse. I'm your host, the greatest of all time, the Minotaur. And boy, do I have some news for you. That rumbling you fine folk heard for miles, that was stable 180, my friends. It's been blown up. If you're within, well, if you're near the center of the city, you done felt it more than others. How did this happen? Well, kids, it seems that the cause was our friend the Ministry Mayor. There was apparently some bad you-you going on down there, and as a result, the self-destruct sequence was activated. My intelligence says that the Ministry Mayor is now headed out of the city. Heads off to you, Ministry Mayor. I hope you find whatever it is you're looking for. Now with that said, let's get back to the dick and fart jokes. We've been missing those for far too long on here.
I chuckled at the Minotaur's broadcast. At least he was tasteful enough to not explain the real reason the stable had blown, and for that I thanked him. I went back to ignoring the radio and thinking to myself. I didn't even hear Violet tell me that we were getting close to our destination until she poked me really hard in the side.
Ow!
I said, glaring at her.
Sorry, but we're here,
she said, motioning with a hoof. The soft glow of theater came upon us as we rounded the next corner. Danish stepped forward, an air of confidence around him as the guards approached.
Boys, he said. Stand down, it's just me.
Danish, one of the guards said. Where the fuck have you been? The boss has been worried sick about you.
Danish grinned.
Tell the boss we are all right, he said. I'll be getting the Ministry man to a crew set up here, then I'll be over to see him.
The guards nodded, moving aside to allow us to enter. I nodded in thanks to them as I walked by, seeing friendly smiles on their faces. The hustle and bustle of theater was just as I had remembered it. Ponies, griffins, and other various species flowed through the open lobby, purchasing what wares they could from the vendors. There was newness to the settlement as well. The banners, once filled with war propaganda and promotions for musicals, were now painted over with simple colors representing the MMMMM. The group had made good on their promise to maintain the settlements, it seemed. The vendors also had increased their hall considerably, their loud shouting adding to the general din of the main marketplace. Danish proceeded to move swiftly through the crowds, heading straight for the far end of the settlement, where the MMMM had set up their operations. Several of the gang's members saluted to the cream-colored unicorn when he appeared.
Hello, boys. Need to put my friends up here for a while. What you got for me?
He said. One of the ponies, a chocolate-colored earth pony mare, stepped forward.
We've got a few rooms available, she said, her eyes widening. Luna, you all look like hell. Sin Mint?
A soft green mare popped her head out of one of the makeshift doors. Get these folk upstairs to some of the empty rooms and make sure to bring them up some good food while you're at it. The other man nodded excitedly, motioning for us to follow her. I looked down to Danish.
Thank you, I said softly.
The unicorn grinned.
It ain't nothing, he said. Now go on, you rest. I've got some business to take care of here.
Would you mind some company?
Lilith said, her eyes hopeful. I smiled.
Ha!
I knew there was something going on there. Danish's face seemed to flush red for a moment and he nodded.
Sure, darling. I wouldn't mind at all, he said, glancing over at Nixie's. Also, this old boy needs to have a doctor to look at him.
The chocolate-colored mare nodded.
If he will follow me, I will take him to see the doctor, she said softly.
Nixie smiled a carefully 2-3 grin and lopped after the mare. The others moved to follow Sin Min to their rooms.
I'll be up in a bit myself, I said, putting a hoof up. I'd like to walk around, relax a little.
The others nodded. I followed behind the two wayward lovebirds for a short while, chuckling to myself as they tried to not walk too close together. I peeled off, heading down another long stretch of vendors. My eyes drifted over to the bar I had met Lucky in. It was the same bar that I had seen Granadin and Cutter in. I allowed myself to head there, not intending to drink any, but to see. I sat down at the bar, the familiar face of the bartender appearing before me. His blue eyes looked old and wise, if a little sad.
"What can I get for you, darling?"
he said.
"A water, if that will please," I said.
The bartender nodded and began to pour a glass of water for me.
"Are you Horace, perchance?"
"Aye, that be me," he said. "And you're the famous ministry mayor if my listeners on the radio are correct."
I chuckled.
"Yes, you're right, it's me," I said softly.
"Something bothering you?"
the bartender said. I shrugged.
"Just too much going on, lost friends, lost a lot more," I said. "Fuck it, give me a bottle of your finest, Horace."
"You sure?"
Horace replied. I nodded and the bartender pulled out a bottle. I floated out enough caps, setting them on the counter. Pouring myself a glass, I took a drink. The smooth, burning taste of alcohol seared my throat. I sighed in contentment.
"Ah, that's the stuff," I said. "Let me ask you something, Horace. You ever have friends?"
Horace nodded.
"Once upon a time I did. Two regulars that used to come in here, Cutter and Granadin. They're gone now,"
the bartender said morosely.
"But I won't ever forget them. They were good friends."
I nodded. I wouldn't forget them either. I took another swig of the brown liquid. I knew this was a bad idea, but I didn't rightly care at that moment. Life, it seemed, had conspired to take much away from me. Diamond, Cranky, Lucky, even Spark if I truly considered what she was.
"Did you know any pony named Diamond?"
I asked without thinking. Horace nodded solemnly.
"Diamond Knight, Alicorn just like you. Poor girl, she went a little cuckoo in the head. I never knew what happened to her after that,"
he said.
She died, saving lives, but she died all the same,"
I said, lowering my head onto the bar.
"She was a friend of mine as well, and I miss her terribly."
"I'm sorry to hear that, friend. Let me know if you need anything else. I've got some things to take care of,"
Horace said, trotting down the other side of the bar. I sighed, taking another drink. A glint of silver caught my eye. Sitting down the bar was what I thought was a steel ranger. A red cape draped off his shoulders, a silver helmet sitting next to him. His soft white mane drifted down his neck, which was lined with scars. He glanced over at me, the green of his eyes meeting my own. I smiled softly as the stallion almost sprung to his hoofs, flipping his helmet onto his head with an almost theatrical gesture. He trotted over to me and bowed low.
"Milady, thou art the one they call the ministry mayor,"
he said. I nodded.
"And you are?"
I said, my cheeks flushing red.
"Oh, great,"
I thought as the alcohol began to take hold.
"My name is Grey Knight, Holy Knight of the Celestial Order. I come to thou with a message. I have been waiting for you,"
the stallion said.
"I was told that thou would return to one of the pony settlements."
"Really now, a message?"
I said. The stallion nodded.
It is from the residents of Arlington,
he said.
The wicked and vile steel rangers in the area have begun to threaten the town. It is a crime against pony kind to allow their kind to prosper. Why have thou simply not destroyed them yet?
I groaned. This was one of those self-righteous ponies. I idly wondered how he had survived in the moral ambiguity that was a wasteland. Look, you ancient knucklehead, we just barely got out from under 600,000 rubbles of tons that was exploding around us. We just lost two of our own, barely saved the wasteland from a shadow of the nightmare itself, I said drunkenly, thinking back to the town of Arlington. Cotton Candy's vile face popped into my mind. And we aren't going, damn it, are going to take at least one day to lick our wounds and rest. If you're so worried about it, why didn't you help them?
The townsfolk specifically requested thine assistance. I now see that I was in error to fetch you. Thou art a drunk and vile pony, Gray replied angrily.
I sighed, my face turning redder under the alcohol's influence. Hold it, I said, continuing my drunken rant. I will help the ponies of Arlington, but I'm going to spend at least one day in bed with my mare friend first. When I leave, we'll go to Arlington and sort all of this out, all right?
Gray looked away for a moment and then nodded. Fine. I will be staying here until thou art ready to leave, he said.
I cocked my head. Why do you speak so funny?
I asked, the alcohol taking my questions in a completely different direction. Why for dost thou not fare, Alicorn? The stallion said. This is a high equestrian tongue, born of the great Princess Celestia herself. I have studied it as part of mine initiation into the Order.
There's a more of you? I said. I had never heard of the Celestial Order before. Was this some sort of new faction?
Nay, I am the only member, Gray said. I have seen much in the wasteland, going from place to place and stopping what suffering I can. Crimes are crimes, no matter the circumstances.
I blinked. I see. Well, it was nice to meet you. I will go to Arlington, but I have to rest, Gray. I'm exhausted. Right now I would be no help to any pony, I said.
The stallion nodded curtly and turned to leave the bar. He passed by a familiar pair of faces. Danish and Lilith had entered the bar, waving at ponies who noticed the two. I smiled as I sat down next to me.
Hey there, how are you two doing? I said quietly.
Lilith smiled.
Great, she replied. What about you? I'm all right, just thinking about things, I said. Don't think too hard, all right? I know it's rough, but I miss him too. No matter what Diamond did in the end, she tried her best to redeem herself, the black mare said. I know, but what do we do now? I said, nearly moving to tears. They're gone.
Lilith pulled me close, giving me a fierce hug.
That's something you need to spend some time figuring out, sweetheart. I can't help you with that, she said. But I can listen, all right? If you need to talk, just let me know. I'll see you in a bit then, I asked the mare.
She smiled and nodded. I rolled my eyes and headed upstairs. Within moments, I had arrived at several makeshift rooms that had been set up in the office areas above the main lobby. The rooms were grungy and dirty, but they were still better than I had expected. I plopped down onto the mattress next to Violet and sighed sleepily. I pulled open my bags and began pulling out my things while the others were lying on their beds. I had certainly collected quite a bit in my travels. The memories of Pride and the others rested nearby, secure in their carrier. I intended to give them to Gluttony as soon as possible, a testament to Diamond and Cranky's sacrifices. I floated out Twilight's diary, paging through it and looking for any clues I could as to Spark's location. A glint in the corner of my eye caught my attention. It was a memory orb sitting in my bag. It wasn't one that I had remembered putting there. It shimmered as I rolled it out. I glanced back at Violet, who was in the middle of cleaning Thunderflash. I needed something, some form of relief for even a little while.
Violet, I said quietly.
She looked over at me and saw the orb sitting in my hoofs. She nodded slowly and I smiled. I glanced down at the orb and latched onto it with my magic, feeling the world slip away into nothingness.
I knew this body quite well, actually. I had been in Twilight's body often enough to be familiar with the Ministry Mayor's form. Where had this memory orb come from? Why was it from Twilight? Nothing made any sense here. The mayor was walking down a long hallway in what appeared to be a large palace. Crystals shined from every inch of the walls. Twilight opened the door at the far end, appearing in a large open dining hall. A pink alicorn sat at the far end, her eyes lighting up as she saw the mayor.
Twilight,
she said as she stood up, rushing over to give my host a hug. The two ponies grinned as they went through what I figured was practically ritual by this point in time.
Sunshine, sunshine, ladybugs awake. Clap your hoofs and give a little shake.
The two giggled loudly as they finished their little dance. Twilight smiled.
Cadence,
she said.
It's good to see you. And you, Twilight, what brings you to my little corner of Equestria?
Cadence replied.
You're a hard mare to get a hold of, you know that, right?
My host giggled.
Yes, well, I've been plenty busy, ministry business and all,
she said.
I actually came to see Shining. Is he around? He's down in the throne room, I believe. Do you want me to call him?
The alicorn said. My host shook her head.
That's all right. I'll go down and see him myself. I need to speak with him,
she said. Cadence cocked her head.
What's up? Something wrong?
She said.
Nothing wrong, my host replied curtly. Ministry business. Princess Luna sent me.
Cadence's eyes narrowed.
Fine, don't tell me. I'm not sure what I was thinking. Your ministries and their secrets are obviously more important than spending time with your sister,
she said, turning away.
Like I said, you'll find him down in the throne room. Let me know when you're ready to leave.
My host turned around, stepping back into the hallway. As she walked, I felt another presence appear next to her.
Well, that was certainly vicious of you,
Spark said as she shimmered to life. She looked much like I knew her, black mane and all. She had a wicked grin on her face.
You know how important this is,
my host said angrily.
I cannot afford to let any pony know of why I'm here. Still, you were so short with her. I very much enjoyed it,
she said. Twilight glared at the spirit.
I'm sure you did, she said. I didn't like it one bit, but Cadence can't know about Shining Armor. Not ever.
The mare continued down the hall, finding herself at the top of a large crystal staircase.
What is this with pre-war ponies and their stairs?
I thought as Twilight descended them. The stairs ended at a massive hallway with a large crystal throne at the far end. A familiar white unicorn sat upon the throne, listening to the petitioners and nodding occasionally. He looked up as he saw my host, his eyes widening.
All right, every pony, the stallion said, standing from the throne. That will be all for today. Thank you for your concerns.
The line of petitioners grumbled but trudged out of the hall anyways. Shining Armor looked down at my host, motioning for her to come to him.
Twilight, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you too, brother,
Twilight replied icily. Shining narrowed his eyes.
So, you figured it out,
he said. My host nodded.
I see, that's not very good.
No, it's not. Why didn't you tell me?
My host replied. Shining Armor turned away for a moment.
It wasn't important. I didn't want you to worry about it, he said.
You plan to kill yourself and you don't want me to worry?
My host shouted.
I don't see why you have to do this.
Shining lowered his head, grunting in pain.
Because I'm doing it for you. You know that, Twilight. It's all for the spell,
he said.
Fuck the stupid spell,
my host raged.
I'm sick of this, Shining. I'm sick of all the secrecy, this pain. I can't stand it. I just can't. I want to find a cure for you.
This is a cure, Twilight. Once you've cast the spell, I'll live forever,
Shining replied.
I will be perfect in every way, all thanks to her.
Twilight sighed.
No, it's not perfect, and I'm sick of hearing about her. She scares me, Shiny,
my host said.
I'm frightened of what she might do if she were free.
I know you're scared, Twilight, but trust me, everything will be just fine,
he said.
Now come here.
My host hung her head and trotted over to the unicorn. Tears were beginning to fill her eyes.
I just... I can't do it, Shining. I can't watch you die,
she said. Shining reached out, pulling the man to a hug.
Don't worry. Everything will be fine. It will fix this, and then we can make it so no pony else can ever die. I have faith in you, Twilight,
the older stallion said. Twilight sighed and nodded, finally clearing her tears. Shining smiled softly.
Now, I'm sure you've got business to attend to. Let me know if you need anything. Anything at all.
I will, my host said.
The stallion turned away and headed out of the throne room. Twilight stepped up to the balcony, looking out upon the empire beneath her.
I will save you, Shining Armor. The right way. And just how do you plan on doing that, Twilight?
Spark echoed in the back of her mind.
He set on the plan that we agreed upon.
Twilight growled.
No, that's not the way. I won't let you do it. I'll find a way to stop you. If I have to expend all of my energy on it, I will stop you.
The mare said angrily.
I will stop you. I'm looking forward to it, Twilight, but until then, be a good little filly and do the work I've shown you.
Spark said. I could just see the smug face of the spirit in the background. Twilight scowled and turned, walking away from the balcony and to the door as the memory faded to black. I awoke to a dark room, Violet snuggled closely next to me. I poked my head up, looking around. Every pony seemed to be present and accounted for, except for Nixie's and Danish. I stood, careful not to wake Violet. I made my way out of our room, pondering what I had seen and where the mystery memory orb had come from. Some pony had obviously wanted me to see Twilight in Shining Armor, but who? What did it all mean, and how did it play into what Spark was doing now? I trotted down the stairs to the lobby, stepping once more into the hustle and bustle. Theater, it seemed, never slept. Ponies of all creeds flowed through the crowd, and I caught a glimpse of who I was looking for. The Hellhound and the Unicorn were sitting at a table in the bar, speaking quietly. I stepped to the table and sat down. They looked up at me and smiled.
"Gentle Colt and Hellhound," I said, glancing over at Nixie's. "Couldn't sleep?"
"Sleep does seem to elude me, yes," the Hellhound replied. "Danish and I have been discussing plans for what's going to happen next."
"Do tell,"
I said, interested in what the two had come up with.
"Well, darling, I'm planning on staying here. The MMMM needs me, and I can't abandon Gluttony," Danish said.
I nodded softly.
"I sort of expected as much," I said. "What about Lilith? Is she going to stay here too?"
Danish shrugged.
"Don't rightly know. What she decides is up to her, I suppose. I suspect that she'll decide to follow you, though,"
the cream-colored unicorn said.
"She's a good mare. Got a good head on her shoulders."
I nodded.
"And you, Nixies?"
I said, turning to the Hellhound.
"What do you want to do?"
"I would like to see my village once more," Nixies said. "But I will go with you as long as you have need of me."
I smiled.
"Thank you, Nixies. That is appreciated,"
I said.
I know that we need to find Spark, and I think the only way we can do that is to go to Manhattan."
"What's in Manhattan?" Danish said, cocking his head.
"The Twilight Society. I need to see them. Maybe they can help me decipher where Spark went," I said. "There's also a settlement south of the city that I need to visit. Arlington."
"I've heard of them. What's wrong down there?" Danish asked.
"Steel Rangers, a particularly stupid group of them, are threatening the town. I need to help them," I said.
Danish nodded.
"If you like, I can get together a contingent of MMMMM to assist," he said.
"That might be a pretty good idea," I said. "The backup might be needed and would certainly be appreciated."
A waiter came by and dropped off a set of drinks. I smiled and took some mug, drinking deeply from it. The warm liquid seared my throat. Thankfully, the memory orb had given me enough time to sleep off the drink I'd had earlier.
"I can do that. Least I can do for you, Star,"
the unicorn replied.
"I'll make a call to a few of the boys. They should be free."
"Thank you,"
I said, taking another drink and standing.
I think I'm gonna wander, see what else is around here."
In truth, I had a destination in mind.
It was a place I'd been wanting to see since I got out of the stable. Nixies and Danish nodded cheerfully. I left them and headed towards the entrance to theater, smiling at the guards standing watch. The streets were lit by the soft glow of the signs on the side of the settlement. I trotted down the dark road, trying to keep an eye out for my intended destination. The bank sat at the far end of the street, looking as still and decrepit as it had in the memory. I stepped inside its ruined walls, taking it all in. Diamond had been here once. It had been her home in this corner of the wasteland. I trotted into the back offices, looking for any signs that the mayor had indeed been here. I came across what appeared to be a bed made out of old tattered blankets. A dead terminal sat in the corner. I sat down, rifling through the blankets. I found a book nearly coming off of its spine. Opening it, I realized that it had belonged to Diamond. It was her diary, apparently. I picked up in the middle of the book, coming across familiar names. An old friend visited me today, Cranky. Oh, how I've longed for some pony to be around that actually knows me. I've been so lonely as of late. Evora has told me many times that I'm never alone, but she doesn't understand. When I was in Unity, I was part of something. I was part of a larger community, all working towards perfection. I miss it still. My erstwhile sisters have abandoned me now, placing their faith in the savior they so tout, the followers of the apocalypse. I've watched them from afar, but never allowed to come near. Why do they hate me? Why do they not want me around? Is it because my memories aren't perfect? Is it because my mind is shattered into thousands of pieces? I wish I knew. But that will all change soon. I've made several discoveries as of late concerning the statues. The statues that Twilight Sparkle herself made several references to. I know they exist. I can feel it in my bones. It's almost as if something is driving me towards them, pushing me to find them. I sighed. Diamond, she deserved so much more. Why did the followers shun her so? If we had shown her friendship, would pride have ever existed? As I read through the diary, the entries began to get more erratic and frantic. Then, there was a final entry. The thing I have long waited for has come to pass. This shall be my final entry in this diary. It shall mark my passage from this place to the next. It is time for my ascension. I closed the book, placing it in my saddlebags for safekeeping. At the very least, it would give me something to read later. I shuffled around some more, looking for anything that would provide a distraction from what was really bothering me. The one thing that I didn't want to think about. I'd failed my friends. I'd failed Diamond, Cranky, and nearly gotten Nixies killed, not to mention almost losing the others in the escape from the stable.
No, you did your best to try and save them,
a little voice in the back of my head said. I rummaged some more, finding nothing of great importance. I was about to leave, but then a glint of silver caught my eye. Sitting not too far away on a pedestal was a memory orb. I grinned.
Now that's something worth looking into,
I thought as I stepped over to the pedestal. The orb shimmered in the darkness. I hadn't noticed it before, but there it was. Without even thinking, I grabbed hold of the orb with my magic, letting myself drift away with the fading of the world around me. I knew exactly who I was. Diamond. Why would she leave a memory orb of her own memories? What did it all mean? The Alicorn was sitting where I had been, in the abandoned bank. She was looking at her diary, writing along in it. She stopped for a moment, looking behind herself.
You know, if you wanted to visit, you could have just called first, my host said wearily.
A shadow in the darkness moved. It coalesced into the lithe form of Evora.
I apologize. I've been training to be silent lately, she said, smiling. I just wanted to check up on you, see how you were doing.
My host sighed.
I'm all right. I've been trying my hardest to crack into the chest at the ministry, but I've had no luck,
Diamond replied. Evora nodded and sat down next to my host.
What are we going to do once you get in there?
Evora smiled, placing a hoof on my host's shoulder.
Diamond, I know that this is important to you, but you have to accept that they might not be what you think they are.
she said. But then how am I supposed to gain acceptance? How am I supposed to help? I said, tears filling my eyes. Diamond, you can help. You have friends. Let them help you. You are worth so much more than you give yourself credit for, Evora said. My host shook her head. Evora, I need to do this. They have to be real. It's the only way, my host said, standing. I hope you'll understand, but I really should get back to the ministry hub. I need to keep trying. My host's wings flared out. She walked outside as Evora trailed behind her. Diamond, please, just be careful, all right? The zebra said. My host glanced back at her, nodding. I will, I promise, she said, taking off into the air. The city stretched out below, beautiful in its own strange way. The ministry hub loomed in the distance. The mayor sighed to herself. I don't know who you are, but I know you're there somehow. What? I thought. Was she talking to me? Of course I am. Who are you? The alicorn said. How is this even possible? I said. Diamond smirked. Magic works in strange and unexplainable ways. Besides, you feel familiar to me. I can't place it, she said. So, who are you? A friend, I said.
I wasn't truly sure if this had actually happened or if I was merely hallucinating.
Some pony who understands you. No pony understands me, Diamond said. I'm an outcast, a freak, not even wanted by my own sisters. That's not true. You should listen to your friend. She's right. You have others who accept you for who you are, I said. She doesn't truly get it. She's stuck with her head in the clouds, thinking she's in love with me. If she could only see, she wouldn't want to be near me, the alicorn said. See what? I replied.
Diamond hesitated before she finally spoke again.
How broken I am. How messed up my mind is. Maybe that's what this is, another fucked up part of Unity that got stuck in my head. I don't know, she said quietly. I'm not a good pony, friend.
I sighed.
Neither am I said. I did a bad thing. I left a friend in need, two friends to be exact. They didn't make it. I see. Were you close to these friends of yours?
Diamond said as she landed in the courtyard of the ministry hub.
They were friends. That's all that matters. And I failed them, I said. I don't know what to do about it either.
Diamond nodded, turning to head into the ministry.
I wish I had an answer for you, voice in my head, but I do not. And I have no more time to spare. I need to find my prize,
the mayor said. She had reached the door that held Twilight Sparkle's chest.
Diamond, whatever you do, don't let it consume you. Trust your instincts and trust your friends,
I pleaded with the mayor. I don't know why I was doing it. Even if it was a true communication, it was a foregone conclusion that it wouldn't work. Diamond stalked towards the chest at the far end of the office as the memory faded to black. The world drifted back into color and I glanced down at the memory orb. It was a strange thing having spoken with the mayor herself. I couldn't explain it. Strange and mysterious, it seemed, was as good a descriptor as any for the inner workings of magic. I sighed. Seeing the memory made me feel much worse. Diamond was an outcast, put out by others and treated terribly. It was no wonder she wanted to find some way to help her fellow ponies. I placed the orb in my saddlebags and sighed. I should have been able to save Diamond. Instead, I let her sacrifice herself so that I could escape. I was a horrible pony. Foolish pony of purple fair, I see before me the ministry mare, a soft voice said from the shadows. I spun about, looking for where it came from. I knew that voice.
Who's there?
I said cautiously. Dark green eyes appeared from the darkness attached to a striped body. Envy had a soft smile on her face. I leapt back in surprise. The zebra lifted a hoof. Hold thyself, radiant star, I come in peace, she said. I am not surprised to find you here after what has transpired.
What do you mean?
I asked. Envy smiled again.
I mean the sealing of the spirit in the statue. It was like I woke again, remembering everything I had before I was affected by Pride. She said. I remembered her. You loved her very much, I said. And I'm responsible for her death. In a sense, I killed her. Her and Cranky, you must hate me.
The zebra gave a small chuckle and shook her head.
I cannot hate you, Star. You are more responsible for her death than I, she said. You must realize this. Diamond made her own choice. She was always stubborn like that. I guess that was what I loved about her. And Cranky. He lived for centuries without his true love. It's high time he had the peace he long desired.
I still failed, Sam, I said, tears filling my eyes. Why did I do it?
Because they were your friends. You trusted their judgment. Cranky knew what he was doing. So did Diamond. They both did what needed to be done to save their own versions of the Wasteland.
Envy said.
Wasteland, it's such an appropriate term, Radiant Star. This place wastes us all. It wastes our efforts, our loves, and in the end it wastes our lives. In the face of that, the best we can do is pick ourselves back up and keep trying. Even if... No, especially if things seem bad.
I never thought of it that way, I said. Everything seems so complicated now. Spark's gone. There's nothing left for me in this city anymore.
The one you seek may be out of reach, but to you there is so much to learn that I could teach.
Envy said. I blinked.
What I am trying to say is that to repay you for the kindness you have done to us for saving Diamond, I could show you some things to help you in your journey. All I ask is that you stay for a few days longer.
I sat and thought about it for a moment. It was a good offer, for sure. Also, it was a chance to understand Diamond a little better through Evora's eyes. I could send Grey Knight back to Arlington to prepare the ground and make myself a better fighter. I looked up at her and nodded.
I'll do it.
The soft glow of theater greeted me once more as I trotted up to it. Envy had instructed me to meet her the next day at the bank where I could begin to learn from her in the ways of zebra magics. I still wasn't sure about it all, but I knew I was going to need all the help I could get to face Spark again. My thoughts had been plagued by Diamond and Cranky all the way back to the settlement. I pondered Envy's words. Was I really ultimately responsible for their deaths? I wish I knew. I did know, however, that Envy was right. They deserved peace. And in the end, that was what they got. The peace of mind, knowing that they had helped the world in some small way. Even if bad things had to happen first. Maybe that was how it was in the Wasteland. Maybe, in some way, bad things had to occur in order to get to the good. I was certainly hoping for some good. I entered the settlement, smiling at the guards as they let me pass. The place was still active. I waved to several of the MMMMM enforcers walking through the crowds, receiving friendly nods in return. Immediately I made my way to the stairs heading up to our rooms. I turned down the hall that housed our temporary home, my eyes widening. The door to our room was busted off its hinges and the light was on. I galloped towards it.
What happened?
I thought as I burst into the room. In the center of the room was Steeljack, bound and gagged and completely naked without his power armor. The stallion looked up and began shouting through his gag, making muffled noises as he tried to shift around to sit up. Laying on the floor next to him was a piece of paper with a knife holding it to the ground. My horn flared, untying Steeljack and removing the gag from his mouth. He coughed as a piece of fabric moved away.
What happened?
Some pony hit us. I didn't see them. The stallion said frantically. I was knocked out cold. When I woke up, Lilith, Violet and Pet were gone. I blinked.
What about Nixies and Danish?
I said angrily.
They haven't been up to the room in some time, Steeljack replied,
glancing down at the note. I levitated it away from the knife and folded it open. I narrowed my eyes as I read. We have the mares. If you wish to see them alive again, come to the perimeter of Cheetown and Middletown. Come alone and unarmed. Lotus Bloom of the Lotus Triad. I groaned loudly.
Not again.
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. New perk, the Peace of Death. Your resolve has been hardened by your losses, and at the same time you're still wondering if it was your fault. You are at least 15% wiser. New spell, Gravitron, rank 2. You can now cast an anti-gravity spell, although you might want to watch casting it outside. Violet Iris, level up. New perk, Cutie Mark Crusader. The true meaning of your destiny has been unveiled. While in the presence of your friends, you gain a plus 10% bonus to hit hostile targets. New spell, Healing, rank 3. Your healing powers have gotten better. You can now use them in hostile situations. Steeljack, level up. Patch, level up.
Narrator's note. I apologize if there are quality or volume differences in this chapter, because it actually took me almost a week to record this. And I, well, 2 days ago, my laptop on which I do or did most of my recordings died finally. It doesn't start up anymore. If I press power button, nothing happens. So about the last half hour of this chapter was recorded on my netbook, and I will have to work on my netbook until I can get a new laptop. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.